as to whether you're carnal or not. Because that book is alive. And so that's, like I say, I was going to say the word for the day, but it's not a good word for the day. It's a word for every Christian all the time, isn't it? That book is fresh. That's why you can dwell on it and find that it is so full of wonderful, wonderful truth. And the Holy Spirit can push your buttons because it's so fresh. And you say, wow, I didn't see that before. It didn't fit. And now it fits. It's just as fresh. When I thought I knew it all when I learned it the first time. And you get there and you say, no, it's fresh. Always fresh. And God doesn't add truth. It's all there. It's just we can't see it because our minds are human and frail and feeble. Okay. Father, bless us as we open the book, and we'll thank you as you guide us in the truth. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, Colossians 3. The verse that we are working, I didn't consult with Dale. He didn't consult with me. And we just ran in tandem in a little different way, this idea of that which is hidden, the concept of mystery, the concept of manifestation, which we're not going to be able to get to as much today, are all parts that he was back in chapter 1. I'm in 3. And so it's very interesting, the idea of a life that is imputed as hidden, together with Christ in God the Father. And so it sounds like a good author that happens to provide fresh revelation. As we understand it, we come to the book, and it's fun. It's just enthusiastic for me. I'm enthusiastic about it, though I have an ongoing wrestling match with a problem here. And we'll talk about it. But let me read just verse 3, because I don't think I'm going to go any further than that, except I have to bridge a little bit into 4. For you are dead, and your life is in a state of having been hidden together with Christ in God. Now, I kind of phrased that into a 3-point outline. So you can kind of see where we're headed. And you have it. We've been talking in this series. Last week, you get another soon. I've got 6 different soons we've gone through as we've wandered our way through. You said, I thought you were talking about imputation, and you keep talking about position. Well, that's where imputation comes. People don't see imputation in this positive way like they need to. God counts this to be true, and we are to count it to be true as he does. That is a mental thing. It's not something you can do because you're involved with it mentally. And we started off in Romans chapter 6 where it says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Remember how we translated that? Imputed. Impute for yourselves to be dead unto sin. Count it like God counts it. And so when we are imputing these things, I think that is a whole dimension of imputation that people miss, and it's no wonder they don't see the significance of what we have in the person of Jesus Christ because of the baptizing work of the Spirit, let alone the possessions. The position is so key, and so we relate to it. And we were crucified together with him. I don't have nail prints anywhere. I don't have a spear, but God counts me to. When we understand it, I died when he died. God counts that as true. That's what we get. I mean, that's why it's so important. If we can count ourselves as God does and know that in the future, that will be absolutely certain. And as soon as the rapture comes, we will begin to understand these far, far better than we do now. We were buried. It proved there was a legitimate physical death in his part, and God counts it as the same on our part. We were made alive, and we talked about being made alive, and how life was given And in this case, it was resurrection life. We got a life word here. It's going to be a problem. We were raised together. In other words, we weren't raised dead. We were raised alive on it. And so the order is important and significant. And these are all soon prepositions. And we are seated together. The right hand is a wonderful place to have a chair at the table. To be at the right hand and to count it so. And I'm enjoying more and more and more, and I'm sure it's maybe prep for, in my mind, prep for me to get to heaven. And when we're all caught up together, we'll be all seated. Don't ask me how. But God's got to figure it out. And so when we are together in heaven, we will be seated together with Christ in a actuality, not just mere imputed reality. And so that's become significant for us to understand. And so as a result, we're identified with Christ as having our lives hidden here in this verse. Hidden. Interesting word study. There are several derivatives. It's funny, the verb is not used in the material ties with mystery. It's found three times in mystery. That which has been hidden is now made manifest, is now revealed. And so when a mystery is not a big question mark. A mystery is the fact that God showed you something that was hidden in eternity past from spirit beings and human beings. Sounds like Colossians 1, where Dale was today. A mystery hid from angels and humans in the past is the picture. It's in this context of the each one mature in Christ. And we understand that. And so it's hidden. We're going to have to talk about hidden because it's going to be important because it's going to have two concepts. And we'll be relating to it. And so those concepts is, what does it mean? If it's hidden, is it invisible? If it's invisible, you can't then see it? Or is it just because it's obscured and you can't see the reality of it? Or is it being hidden to be protected? How many people have taken and hidden their wealth in a time of danger and somebody chops a tree down, they couldn't find the tree they hid it under? You know those stories. On that, I was reading about the Donner Party, and you remember that major catastrophe. It was a good illustration of human presumption. People presumed in the Donner Party that they were better at pioneering than they were. They didn't have to die at Donner Lake, which became Donner Lake. It wasn't called that at that time. But they were there during a winter. They got trapped in a huge snowstorm. And people started to die. And there was a lady. I mean, here they're coming from the Midwest and the Eastern Points. And this lady had so much money in gold pieces. She panicked because that was going to be their life in California. Her husband had died. And so she, on the way up toward the summit, hid the gold pieces under some rocks. Well, I think it was 50 years later or so, somebody found it. And it was, I mean, she did, I think she died trying to get over the mountain. But that's one way to hide it, to secure it. So those are mean, that word to hide has the idea of to hide it, to secure something. So we have different meanings, and so we're going to talk about those. In Colossians 3:3, we have this soon preposition. And don't you dare denigrate that concept. I mean, together, we are identified together. When God the Father, it seems like somebody just saying something about that a few minutes ago. When God the Father sees Christ, he sees me. That's called soon. That's called together. Isn't it fun what we've been doing with imputation? You see how close we are counted by God the Father? It's imputed to us. And we don't even know how close it is in God's mind. We know what he reveals to us. But I'll tell you one thing. I know that when I first learned these truths, that I didn't understand the significance of it like I do today. And if the Lord came back in 5 minutes, you know, it's going to change my view of the significance of soon. And yours too. Because we'll start to understand how intimate, how great a privilege it is to be soon with Christ, that is together with Christ. And so that's what we're kind of talking about at this particular point. And so this sharing together with Christ, but it's interesting here, we do have a link to God. Now, I'll say this here because it explains something of the dilemma, one of the two dilemmas I have here. And that is, God does not have a definite article in front. In other words, it doesn't say the God. If it did, my title would be 100% accurate. If it doesn't, my title is also 100% accurate. Because if we're involved with deity, it involves the Father as well as the Holy Spirit. And so it's interesting when our lives are hidden together with Christ in God. Can you figure that one out? That is, it's very difficult to wrap your mind around that wonderful truth. When we get to heaven, I don't know how many millennium we're going to be enjoying that before we I don't think it's ever going to get old. It's always going to be fresh. When we get there, we'll just be overwhelmed with the grace of God, and we'll be able to do it with minds at work. And that's going to be extremely important. And so the reality is that the indicated reality that Christ is our life is not the sad, if you're looking at letter E. It's Christ's life that is manifested. It is so interesting as we come to 3. He starts out in verse 3 with that three-letter word in the beginning in the Greek and the three-letter word in the beginning in the English. What is it? For. F-O-R. And in the Greek, it's gar. And if I say it, I'm going to spell it in Hebrew instead of in Greek, so I won't spell it because I'll say gimel instead of gamma. That's what happens when you do things too long. For explaining something. He explains why you set your mind, your reflective thinking in verse 2 on things above. He's explaining why. And I love it because the more I've thought about it, the more I'm convinced that life here is not resurrection life, it's eternal life. That's why you get your mind on things above at the right hand so you can get out of the way so eternal life can be manifested because your dirty fingerprints don't need to be around it. Get up on the right hand. You can't leave your dirty fingerprints up there. But get at the right hand and see that you're able to manifest, reflect, sounds like 2 Corinthians 3:18. Will reflect as a mirror the life of Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11-12. And so and it says your life, though. Whoa. That's kind of weird. It says it's your life. It's kind of funny when you look at it. Here I am getting ahead of myself. And that is your life is a your is the second master or second person plural. Life is a singular. We all share the same kind of life. And I believe it's the eternal life of God, the Godhead as manifested in the Son. That's how we have eternal life. He indwells us and your eternal life is mirrored out when you're out of the way. And so this little gar here in the beginning is very, very important. And so when he says, for you are dead, actually what he says here in 3, it's a second aorist active, that is, you died. You died when he died. And that's extreme. I mean, in God's mind, you have such a perfect substitute. Again, I keep saying this as we've been in this series these two series really, that there's a reason for doing substitution before we do imputation. Because our substitute stands 100%. There's not 1% left. It is our responsibility because he took care of it all. The whole thing. And that becomes extremely important to us. And so you died once and for all in Christ, and it's imputed as active. When God looks at you in Christ, he sees you as dying, actively dying. The passages are used there too, but it's very important when we understand this. And he counts it as absolutely real and absolutely true, absolutely certain by the form together with Christ. And it's interesting when we go back to 2:20, it says, wherefore, since you are dead with Christ or together with Christ from the rudiments, the ABCs, the elemental particles of the world system, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? So he's already said it in verse 20. We come down here and he says, you are dead in verse 3. And we have that concept. But when it says your life, be careful. Context makes a difference. And the context takes you down to verse 4. What does it say there? When Christ, who is our life, Christ, who is our life. Kind of interesting. Those are in italics, and they got it right. They wouldn't dare make it subjunctive like they do in so many places where there's a verbalist clause. So that means it might be. It's indicative. It's real. It's true. There's no question about it. Christ is our life. Don't you like that? Not your life, it's his life. And so God imputes us as having eternal life as a possession. And so the life we have is where? Hidden. I like that. It's hidden. And we're going to talk more about it in a moment. Relate to that idea of being hidden. Because the idea of being hidden is nobody sees your life, but he sees Christ if you're where you ought to be. You know, it's awful to come to a Sunday and ask the embarrassing question. How many people have seen the life of Christ in you this last week? How many people saw it mirrored? And we're able to look and see something so different than this world system has to offer. And you live eternal life. People can't help. I mean, they're either going to think you're weird or going to just be amazed. Because most people don't look like Christians who are manifesting the life of Christ. And so we have that beautiful opportunity. And he's talking a bit about this, but it's really the life that's important to us. It's hidden, yeah, because our life is not out there to be seen. Because it should be the life of Christ. It tells us why we need to set our frame of mind or our reflective thinking on things above so that life can be manifested. And that's verse 4 in this matter. And so, since we are dead, your life is hid or has been hidden. Your life has been hidden Hidden is an interesting form. You wouldn't necessarily think about it, but it's significant. It's what we call a perfect tense. It means a state of being. It is hidden and stays hidden. And so it's in this state of existence as being hidden. And when is it going to be manifested? When we trade these bodies in. And God transforms us. When we see him, we will be like him. And that will be a radical change. Absolutely radical change. And they will see eternal life like they really didn't see it here. They saw a reflection of it, but they didn't see the real McCoy. Don't ask me how it's going to work. I'm just ready. I hope we're all ready. That kind of life that never had a beginning, never had an ending because of the eternal God, the Son. And that is so key to our understanding these things. And our life has been in the state of being hidden. And I say being hidden, passive. When we were baptized by the Holy Spirit, at the moment of faith, when we believed the gospel, our life was hidden. And so the eternal life was affected by it. And again, I believe it's eternal life, but there are a lot of reasons to say otherwise in this. Now, this concept of hidden, it's interesting. And working back through this again, I smiled this morning because as soon as my brother talked about the mystery, I knew that we were going to cross the same bridge. I just knew that because I did a very, very thorough study of hidden in some studies on mystery. And in doing those studies, you have 1 Corinthians 2:7, Ephesians 3:9, and you have where we were in Sunday school, Colossians 1:26, where you have crypto. Does that sound like a disease? Crypto, right? Croup. But that means hidden. That's what it means. Is that verb in that form? It only occurs 18 times in the New Testament. We're not going to look at a whole bunch of them. We just want to understand the possibilities of hidden. And so if you're following along at all in my notes, I kind of obscured, I noticed when I was looking back through how I did this. The idea of hiding or concealing something to make it not seen, that is invisible. I don't like the word invisible to describe it. It's just something that somebody cannot see. And to the idea of hide. Let's take you back to childhood. When you played hide and seek, some were better at hiding than others. And you remember, and I don't know where you would have been, but you learned from your friends because you had a certain part of your life. That was one of the big games, at least we played a lot. And you learned how some of these people would hide. And they'd be the first one you'd find. Because if they were hiding behind a tree, inevitably their foot could be seen. You know, they're hiding behind a tree and their foot would be out. Or they'd hide in the same place all the time. Or they had the same modus operandi. They'd only hide behind trees or behind bushes. And they were not invisible. So you found them very quickly. And then there are the stories of those who hid so well they couldn't be found. And when finally the family panicked, they found the kid hiding somewhere sound asleep, which was not an uncommon thing with some in that matter. But this thing of hiding so they could not be seen. Good example of heights. Now, I just use that word. It sounds like a good sniper term, doesn't it? A sniper. That's what he calls a hide. They use all kinds of methods to hide. One of the fascinating kinds of stories about snipers is when they are hiding and their camouflage is so good that an enemy can walk and almost step on them and not know they're there. And so that's the wisdom, and that would be hide. That's the idea of making invisible. That's not the idea here. That's, in fact, it's interesting. Luo Nida in their tool makes a big deal of this, of the differences. The other idea is to cause something, protection, to protect it, hide it to protect it. You know, what would you do if you knew there was a lot of problems in your neighborhood with burglars? You have to think like a burglar. They do very well. I still remember the day a guy across the street many, many years ago from me, in broad daylight, he was gone. He was a widower. He was gone for, I think it was about 15 minutes. And he didn't hide his, must have been a wallet or a container that had credit cards. He came home after 15 minutes, may have come back to edit it, but it was his wallet. And it was gone. He knew it was there when he put it there. And it was interesting, like in my neighborhood, how far is it into a pizza place in Hillsboro? It was within minutes. Somebody had used that card, a credit card, buying pizza at a pizza place. And he was shattered by this whole thing. Of course, he managed to get the stop payment. They only had to do three things with it. But it wasn't the smartest thing to do to have it where you might find it. First place to go to your dresser. First place in the dresser and look at the top. It's easy when you can just pick it off the top. Then they usually check the top drawer. And there's a method that is pretty typical of them, and they know kind of where to go. You're trying to psych them out so you can protect what's important to you. If you have a safe, I always laugh at people get these little safes and they're going to be protected. They forget that safe if it's heavy enough, might be 40 pounds. What burglar or what 16-year-old couldn't pick that up and carry it, you know? And that's not very secure in that matter, this idea of hiding. I have up here. I've had fond memories of what I'm doing here. This is a copy of Inspiring Hymns. It's a hymn book, and when I was at Western, that we, in our music classes, use this hymn book to learn how to lead songs and read time and learn music. And so I don't know the story of this quite, because I'm getting old. Because on the cover, see the blue strip? That has my name on it. Inside the cover, it has from the library of my book stamp. And right under it says Pat McGinnis. So I think it was probably Pat's book first. And so it was interesting because every once in a while I'll see a time signature, especially a 9-8 or whatever. And I'll see that she wrote in it to make them into account. You do it in three and how to figure it out. And so I see it on some of these pages. The only reason I have this here is because Great Hymns of the Faith, the one we use, does not have this song. I'm going to read it. It's familiar to some. That's my problem. When I looked inside the cover of this in the back, I had gone through and marked all the songs that I knew and could lead. And I had dash marks, and I knew more, I probably knew 75 or more percent of them to lead. I looked at the ones I didn't mark. I'm just do this last night. And wow, I can mark a lot more of them now. The hymn is maybe if you use the right hymn books back when, I was trying to find my Tabernacle hymns book from being a kid, and I couldn't find it last night. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflict and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine I would be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. It's always interesting how with these high terms, we have the idea of rock of ages. It's kind of an interesting bridge because all rock of ages is only found one time. It's in the book of Isaiah, and it's not in the King James Version of the Bible. They don't translate it that way. You have to know the Hebrew to do it. In the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in tempest of life, on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Those three stanzas of music was written by Ira Sankey. And if you wanted the story of it, the guy who wrote it is William Cushing. And when you're a preacher, if you lose your voice, you got a problem. It's kind of hard to preach when you lose your voice. And he had lost his voice and had to resign his church. And Sankey sent him a note and said, do you have something new for me? And that was when Sankey was leading the music for D.L. Moody. And Cushing knew that he wanted a song. And he said, you know, he was in no shape in him. He wrote the words of hiding in thee. It was significant to him, is what I'm trying to say. Why did I choose that one? Because the other songs that we have do not have in thee. Hiding in thee. And you have Rock of Ages and some other places. That idea of hiding in thee is a place of soulless protection and care. A place of security. And so when it talks about this in Colossians 3, when we see hiding, your life, you are dead and your life is hidden in the state of hidden together with Christ. Christ doesn't need to hide in any place, but in him we have a position where we are secure. We're hidden. The Father sees him and then he sees me. Think of it. And that makes the big difference. And the focus is there. And then he says, your life is hid together with Christ. That's our soon. In that old. In God. Okay, I'm going to do my mom's trick. Come back next Sunday and we'll talk about the position in God the Father. And we'll talk a little bit more about verse 4 and tie it with it. But you see, isn't invitation fun? People don't like me to call theology fun. I can't think of anything more fun than what God's word has to say. I mean, it's just fresh. But it is, it's just pure fresh. And when I was planning these messages weeks ago, it was kind of fun to think through what I knew. And then I knew where I was going to go, and I knew I was going to be fresh, 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 fresh. And to me, it was. It was just like this. I knew I was good, but it's so fresh. And that's because we got three persons of the Godhead are involved in our understanding of that truth and our involvement with that truth. And so that becomes very, very, very important to us. Okay, yeah, I told you we'd be a little short because I want to do more than one thing. I think what I want to do, I'm thinking maybe I'd like to have all five people come up, but I'm trying to think of Jim's back, Priscilla's back. How can you stand while everybody else hears? I can have you sit on the platform or you can sit on a bench. So let's all come up in front and we'll hear some testimonies. And that is one of the blessings. Yeah, just wherever here. Since more people are on this side, we'll come over this side. Yeah, we have to work with the furniture. Wherever you want to go.
Where I want
to go. No, don't go out the door, please. We've gone to too much effort. Anyway, so in Sunday school, we did this prospective members class. And it was because one of these was asking about it, and that's why we do membership here. If the Holy Spirit leads somebody to ask about doing a membership class, then we check it out and ask and meet up with a membership class. And it's been good. And I have the advantage. I mean, every time I do a membership class, I have so many neat memories of testimonies that I've heard. And I get a double whammy. So Chris and I have a double whammy today because we were able to hear these. So what we're concerned about is, their salvation and their certainty of it. And so who would like to start? Okay. Boy, Esther, you're great. Okay, good. Okay. And so when we share, we either I know or I ask about baptism and by immersion and as a believer, not to be a believer. Okay, who'd like to be next?
So, by the next thing, I'm just not good at it.
When did it happen? He's an old man.
He's too young for it to have been a long time.
No. Right. I wanted to make sure I asked that because Caleb and I kind of are walking in similar shoes because my dad is going to let me in the Lord. And I thought, yep, it's a good place to be. Okay.
March 11th.
I was saved not when I was kid. I was 32. And but I did hear the gospel in it at depth that I started in the class. Writing was going for us for us that because of Christian. But God actually heard that. I was raised Catholic. Believe it or not, I heard that catechism from a nun, the point of it. I don't know if she intentionally did that. She did not give it scripturally, but she gave us that document that we should read this Sunday in Lent before Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But I was a very stubborn thing in my act that came close to me. If that was true, I was very young, probably about 8. If that was true, God killed baby Jesus for us. And this person told me, well, a lot of people believe that Christ is God's son, a nice, really nice person, a prophet, a healer. So there's other ways you can believe. And I chose to ignore those points and not even want to go there. It was about my own stubbornness. Searching, and God brought me to a point at age 32 with allowing me to go my own way and suffer all the consequences, and brought back that into my mind. Actually, not talking with Christian people that I knew some happened to be at the time. I'm very miserable. And God brought it back to my mind because of the place that I had gotten to and always wanting to know. He gave me the faith to believe that there. And I clearly understood those points of the gospel, that that was what gave me something. Took me a couple more years to actually get back to the U.S. and read the Bible. So it was great to see it for the first time. 15, basically 1 through 4, as the gospel that Christ died on the cross for our sins and buried him with. Yes, I was baptized. That was, oh, I think it's been 18 years now, but it was, dunk baptism. I won't count. The sprinkle baptism at the church. But, yeah. So I don't know if you guys asked me that. But I was.
But sometimes we know already. Yeah. Okay. Good. Jim? Are you doing
like the rest of them? Anyway, I'm not sure what I was saying. I wrestled a little bit. I'm talking for especially me and church. When I was 19, a week later, I was down on my knee. I said, I'll always believe. I don't remember ever not believing. Christ died on the cross was buried in the dead. Double confused in my mind there. And I get out of my knees and I said the prayer. I had a whole lot of feeling. Always a investment. So,
okay.
Anyway, time was over. It was back to what? Sprinkle. I hate that. It might be a wet. Anyway, I don't know the age, but it's working in Australia. Pretty young. Yeah. That's it. So,
okay.
Oh, active battle, but
Okay. So, I mean, this is, so you've heard their testimony. So I'm going to invite you to go out in the foyer and we're going to have a quick meeting and we're going to have to take a vote. See, so if you did anything wrong, they're going to call you on the carpet. Yeah. No. So we just like to do it that way because that way we're running for heat oil. No problem. Oh. Okay. Yep. Okay. You want to go ahead and come up and oh, I came down here because I'll get down there.
Entertain a motion. Okay, so the motion is to accept these five the membership. But okay.
We would consider
okay, second. Okay, it's been seconded. Any discussion? If those in favor, aye. Okay, those opposed. Okay, so we'll adjourn the meeting.
Yeah, but we just want to be formal. Whoever's close to the door, if you like opening the phone, come on in. So we can have community together, and then we'll like share the right hand of fellowship. Okay, we'll work our way to the back. If we run out, we'll be there. Okay, first Sunday of the month is the time that we have designated as a church. It's probably been designated for who knows how long. I would almost guess it's probably been at least maybe 70 years, but I don't know. I know it's been 50 in that matter. So the Constitution has always had that. So we do that as a memorial. Okay. And so as we relate to the Lord's table, be reminded of the fact that this is the table of remembrance. What do we remember? Do we remember a crucifix? Do we remember an open tomb? In a way, yes, but no. Because this is not dealing with, it's what happened in the past for us in the present. This table was given by the Lord so that after Pentecost, they would be reminded over and over again of the work of Christ and his practical application in present and salvation. We take the bread. And when we do it, and I'm still waiting, I don't know how when we're going to be able to do it. How we're going to be able to start breaking it again. I've gotten to the point I really miss it. And I have missed it so much in these last couple of years that we don't hear the click, click, click of the breaking of the bread. And we do that because I guess we'd like to keep you alive. Dale and I know someone, a friend, especially a friend of our little brother, that's in heaven today because of the COVID situation. And so it's interesting because
He was a kid in our dad's church. He went to heaven. And he'll never want to come back. There are a bunch of people who would want him back, but it's not going to happen. And he had a very severe case of it. And he's been sick for many weeks. But that's but we're doing this to protect you in that matter. And so you have to think of the significance. One loaf, one body. We are parts of that body. We don't have that symbolism easily seen when we usually have a single wafer. But it's beautiful to be so dependent on one another, isn't it? This table is the Zoom table. That is the together table. That's why the C-O-M is in front of communion. So that's an English carryover. And how it works. And so as we partake of the table, we are reminded, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and relate to what God says about this. This is why I say it's for present tense salvation. We're not looking back. We're looking at what has been provided for now. This is practical. It's not hypothetical. It's the real thing. And so in chapter 10, what does he say? He says in verse 16, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or sharing in common of the body of Christ? We are part of that body. But he's going to tell us that. For we being many are one loaf, one bread, and one body, or even one body, we can do it that way. For all are partakers of that one bread. So when we partake of the bread, we're saying, I'm in the body of Christ. I'm sharing with you. I am dependent upon you and the head of the body, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what this should provide for us is this encouragement to live in present tense salvation as part of the body of Christ. And living in imputation, as God imputes it, we can impute it. And so when we share the bread, we have that unique privilege with that. Now, we're going to have to be patient because then we'll move these around. I'm going to pass this. Okay. Now, I shouldn't tell a story, so I'm in the middle of a service. The church where Grant attended a couple of communion Sundays ago used these. Never seen them before? He didn't take communion because he couldn't find any bread. So... and nobody helped him. That's what got me. And you think, if we're in one body, we ought to take care of each other. Okay.
Right,
but just drop. Oh, okay. Okay, remember you got two tabs.
Yeah, I need another
one. They have them vermin in every.
No,
this one is
a wafer.
Oh, I got you. Okay, check. You have a wafer? No, I've got some extras here. Jim, you should have said something. Might have been right here. Oh,
Oh, that you can see them. Yeah, it's purple.
Okay. That's what happens.
Okay. So when we take the bread, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and what we're looking at is, I want to begin at verse 20. Well, let's read from 22. 11:22. What have ye not? How is this to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? There are some problems going on in Corinth. And the same, and shame them that have not. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night he was in which he was betrayed, took bread, upper room. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. I've got to open mine so they're open. You have it. I have it now. So let's partake together. Then he took the cup. Later. And this was probably the cup at the end of the Passover or right after, maybe an Elijah cup that he took. And so when he took the cup, what did he do? He said, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant. This testament, covenant, testament, the same word. The new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Shall we partake? Okay. Let's go ahead. No, let's wait a minute. Actually, let's wait a minute.
What I'm going to do
is ask our client something to come up here. And see if we can fit up here somehow. We're going to sing Blessed Be the Time with You as member. That you have been accepted.
All right.
Okay. That's just, now we can sing Blessed Be the Time, and then we'll come and come around and give the right hand. Chris, you can come up here too. Okay. I need you to lead the song.
Yes.
Blessed be the time that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that of love. And if you all stand, I'm going to lead the way here. And welcome into the